Welcome to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast, the voice of hockey in America, with your host, Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine.
Welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Today we're here at Magnus Arena on the campus of the University of Denver, where tonight the last two NCAA champions will clash as DU takes on the University of Minnesota Duluth. We're joined by Duluth head coach Scott Sandlin, who is in his 19th season at the helm with the Bulldogs. Scott, thanks for taking the time after practice today to talk.
No, my pleasure.
You're the defending national champions. You're coming off, you're off to another great start this year, 8-1-1, ranked number one in the latest USA Hockey Magazine college poll. Looks like where you're picking up where you left off last year.
Yeah, you never know from year to year, right? But no, we're excited about the group we had coming back and the freshmen we had coming in. Obviously, we lost some key players like you do every year, but I think our back end, certainly with all the young defensemen, they got a lot of experience, is a big strength to our team. And I think up front we've got pretty good depth. So, but again, you go into every year a little bit cautious, but certainly with high expectations. And so far through the first month, or a little over a month, we've gotten better as a team, and we got a good start.
And then so tonight you face a very tough opponent. Seventh-ranked the Pioneers. I imagine every game in the NCHC is tough because, from top to bottom, but especially when you're the defending champs, there must be a little bit more of a target on your back, and every team must really get up for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than somebody else, but, again, every game in our league is like a playoff game. Our league is strong. It's a battle every night. We just played Colorado College last weekend, and, again, we won the games, but this weekend certainly going against a team that's had our number, a very good hockey team again, play very similar to when Monty was here, and Dave is doing a great job with a lot of young players, much like we were last year, and their style is the names have changed a little bit, but very, very big challenge for us this weekend, certainly a team that's got a lot of depth and really plays the game at a lot of pace.
Absolutely. Well, I had read that when you were going into this year, you said you didn't want to spend too much time dwelling on last year's success, and you wanted this team to create its own identity. How is that working out so far this year?
I think good. There's always going to be some references to last year, but not necessarily the championship. I think, to me, a lot of the references are our older guys that played against some of these teams. They know how difficult it is. Those are the messages, we want to make sure they're sending to our younger players, the importance of every game, how tough it is, especially when you get in our league. But college hockey in general is harder. But just those messages, and it's really important. I think our captains have done a good job. Parker's done an outstanding job too, keeping our guys, kind of focused on what's ahead for us, and keeping us in the now, and not really, going too far ahead or looking too far back. So I think that's important because every team, every year is a different challenge. You have different players, and each team does kind of take on its own identity a little bit. And I think this group is slowly emerging into something that we like, and hopefully we can continue that.
And you mentioned before that every game in the NCHC is like a playoff game. How does that in particular help you when you get at the end of the year, when you get into the tournament? Does that just make you a little bit more battle-tested?
Yeah, I really felt last year that was, going back to last year, getting into the tournament, and certainly the Frozen Four against the, three Big Ten teams, who all were very good hockey teams. Two of them were outstanding teams in Ohio State and Notre Dame. And, again, I think when our guys got into those games, we've seen, some of the best. We had two of the best teams in our league last year in St. Cloud and Denver. That we got the opportunity to play against, six times, and not just that, but we've played really good teams, and I think our guys weren't fazed by anything. They knew, those teams when they get there are going to be good, but when you see that every weekend, and I really think mentally it prepares you for the hard games, and we saw obviously different styles throughout our league, and you see different styles through non-conference, and we certainly saw that in the tournament. So it was, when you experience all those things, I don't think your guys are rattled or too fazed by that stuff. They just kind of play hockey and play the way we want them to play.
Absolutely. Well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you're one of the assistant coaches on this year's U.S. National Junior Team. This will be your, I think, third time coaching at the World Juniors. What is it about this tournament that appeals to you?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think it's probably the best, amateur tournament in the country, in the world. Certainly, I know the first time I did it in 05, I hadn't been part of it since 84 when I played, so it's just changed a lot. But, you know, the exposure, the talent level, you know, is second to none. And, you know, you see the world's best U-20 players in that tournament, and obviously guys are going to be future NHL players. Some are in the NHL. But, you know, it's a fun tournament. It's a challenge to bring a group together and have them gel quickly and, you know, to have success. That's always, you know, the hard part of those tournaments because you're bringing guys in and you don't have a long period of time to do it. But really excited about working with the coaching staff, especially, you know, Mike Hastings, who's the head coach, you know, Steve Miller and Jerry Keefe and David Lassonde. I think we've got a really good staff and we're all excited about getting going with the tournament.
And as an assistant coach, do you have any work that you have to do during the season to kind of get ready, or do you just show up at the I know you were at the summer showcase, but just show up at the camp and then go from there?
No, Mike's kind of assigned us duties, and I think we carried that into the showcase this summer. And you know, again, we're all doing a little bit. Obviously, we're part of the conversations with you know, with picking the team, and actually done a conference call here on Monday. It's getting kind of later in the game, so again, to discuss some players and, you know, see what who might be available and who's playing well and kind of where we're at with the numbers. And but, you know, I think he's done a good job, you know, dividing up some responsibilities to each and every guy on the staff, and I think as a head coach, that's our duty to, you know, to make sure we're doing that. But there's certainly, I know I'm doing some things behind the scenes here to get ready, and as are the other coaches.
And once again, the Bulldogs look like they'll be well represented on the U.S. National Junior Team. From your perspective, how does this experience help a player once they return to the college game after it's all said and done?
Well, I think it's such a high-level experience for those players. I mean, obviously, it's a grind of a tournament first, so there is a little bit of fatigue. I know a couple of years ago when Joey and those guys won the gold medal, he came back, he was pretty gassed, but it was a good tired because they won. But sometimes it takes them a while to kind of get you know, get caught up there a little bit. But I thought last year the guys that came back actually really excelled in the second half. The Scotty Prunoviches, the Dylan Sandbergs, you know, Mikey Andersons, those guys continued to get better. And you know, last year we were fortunate we had five guys there. And this year, obviously, hopefully we're going to have a few. But, you know, I do think that experience, you know, is such a high level. It brings their game to another level. And you just got to live with maybe some of the fatigue when they get back before they kind of get back into it with your team.
So you'll only miss, if I'm not mistaken, just two games, the Desert Classic, if I'm...
Yeah, I'll miss the Arizona tournament, and then we have an exhibition game against the U-18s on January 5th, so I'm hoping I'm missing that game.
Absolutely. Speaking of Scotty Prunovich, can you just talk a little bit about what makes him such an effective player?
Well, he's number one, his hockey IQ is really, really high. I mean, he's got tremendous instincts and a feel for the game. You know, for a smaller player, you know, he's very elusive. He can control the game. Offensively, he's dynamite. As evidenced last year, he led our team in scoring. He's doing the same thing this year. But, you know, he's like a fourth forward out there, which we want him to be. We want him to be a big part of our offense. We want him to be involved, coming up the rink, in the zone, all those things. But I think the one thing last year that he did really well, I thought he defended really well. And I think this year he's carried that over, too. So he can play both sides of the puck, but his hockey IQ and his offensive instincts and smarts are really good.
He's listed at 5'9", and which is, a lot of people would say, is not very big for a defenseman. Has the game changed, in your opinion, to where a smaller player, a skilled player, now has a place in the game and can not only play but excel?
Oh, for sure. Certainly at the next level. I mean, you see that, you look at this year's draft, especially defensemen, there was a lot of, you know, 5'10", 5'9", 5'11", guys under 6 foot defensemen in the first round. And, you know, again, the game's become fast and skating. You know, guys that can do that, especially defensemen that have that the ability to skate and move pucks up the rink and be, you know, part of the offense. That's just the way the game has gone. The whole game has gotten faster. You have to be able to skate. There's no question. Forwards included. because the game's gotten so much faster.
Now, I know you have a son who plays hockey as well, and so you're familiar, and obviously, with USA Hockey and done so many things for USA Hockey over the years. How have you seen maybe USA Hockey, either the rules have changed or maybe the way USA Hockey has gone about developing players that is aiding in that process?
Well, I think once everybody really started to buy into the ADM, especially the younger players, I think it's really, you're seeing the benefits. I really believe that. I think, with the things, the opportunities that kids have to be at different events, whether it's, out in Buffalo or even the U14 things now, there's lots of different things to get those kids a lot of exposure to the big hockey world, and a lot of kids live in their own little world and are pretty good players. But once you get exposed to, everybody that's out there, I think it can really help you as far as your development and your mindset and how much, where you're at in your development. But, it still comes back to the player, the player still has to do the work. But I think the coaching's gotten better. But I think it starts there. And I think when you get those young players and working on their skill development and working on the right things, that's certainly a huge benefit moving forward, because they're learning how to train the right way and do the right things. And I think that's, we're seeing the benefits. On the flip side too, with our development program, the experiences those kids get internationally, those were never there way back when I played, to play against all the European countries and Canada, but more importantly, have success. And I think, that's helped us too, moving into this World Junior stuff, is those kids have had that opportunity to play internationally, have a lot of success together, and when you carry that into like the U20 tournament, they're excited about that. They know they've had success, and I think that's why we've done better there too.
Absolutely. And then my last question, I just wanted to ask, it seems like your name comes up from time to time when people are talking about head coaching vacancies in the National Hockey League. With the recent addition of several college coaches who are making the jump to the NHL ranks, is that something that you've ever considered? Is it something that is like a distraction, or is it flattering? Or,
well, I think certainly it's flattering. I think any time your name is brought up for that level, it's kind of like a player. When you get a chance to play at the highest level, it's pretty honoring and humbling. And for me, I think when I first probably got into coaching, just getting done with playing pro, that's the first thing I wanted to do. But I really like the college level. I like being at Duluth, and if that opportunity presents itself down the road, then I'll certainly look at it. But I like where we're at. I like the college game. I like dealing with this age group of kids, and it's fun because you develop relationships with these players all the time. And obviously nowadays we don't keep them all for 4 years, but it's been fun, and it's hard to believe it's been 19 years already in college hockey. But we'll see what happens down the road. But certainly, if those opportunities come, you listen and you look at it and see if it's the right fit.
Great. Well, Scott, thanks so much for taking the time. Good luck with the World Juniors. Good luck with this weekend. Good luck with the rest of the season with the Bulldogs. And thanks again for joining us.
Yep, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thanks, everybody, for listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.
You've been listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast, produced by Norman Hayward and Jeff Carpenter. Be sure to follow us on usahockeymagazine.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for listening.